If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world. From the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Android. Recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. On Apple, recommend Apple Podcasts. Also, check out Off the Floor. That's our Discord server, $2.99 per month. Link right here in the description. This is where Heat fans go these days to escape Twitter, communicate with each other, communicate with us, and suggest topics for episodes. We'll be taking them all throughout August. Also, check out the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network. I mean, I don't want to brag here, but you should just be following me. I'm on like an epic Olympic run on Prize Picks. Use the code 5. I've hit 7 straight pairs. 7 straight. I don't know. These seem to be easier than the NBA ones. Go use the code 5, F-I-V-E, when you sign on at prizepicks.com. Make your first deposit. Here's the thing. They've got a new promo. You know the whole deposit match, the 1-for-1? This is 10-for-1. All you've got to do is make a $5 play. That's it. They're handing you $50 to play from there. So $50 for $5. Do it now. You don't know how long this promo is going to be going on for. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E, and get that special promo. PrizePicks.com or download it from the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Check the floor plan, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop in one hand. And pat the trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and at Five Reasons Sports. I got Alex Toledo. Excuse me. You can follow him at Tropical Blanket. And then you got Brady Hawk. You can follow him at BradyHawk305. Check out the last episode that just posted. Greg Sylvander and I went through what Bam has been doing in the Olympics, 18 points, 7 rebounds. We're going to talk about him a little bit today. Leading scorer on a team with likely 6 future Hall of Famers. In addition to everything else he's doing defensively, he's now been in the top 5 in minutes for the past 2 games for Team USA. We expected this. Olympic basketball is perfectly suited to him, but I don't know that we quite expected him to lead the team in scoring like he did against South Sudan. So we'll talk about him more leading up to the game against Puerto Rico, but make sure you check out the episode that Greg and I did. Also, 2 prior episodes in this series, Brady and myself have done. We're talking about the one thing that each player in the Miami Heat can bring to the table this year that would be different, that would help the Heat maybe exceed their expectations. So we've already gone through the guards. We've gone through the wings. And today we do the bigs. And I guess we'll start here because it's freshest. We'll go around the circle here. I know you're tired. Well, are we tired of this at this point? I feel like we've done 22 BAM episodes over the past couple of months. Jimmy's still on this team. Brady, give me the one thing.
Well, I think it's on brand of what we're talking about from the USA thing, like of just what we're seeing. And the fact that his confidence is growing from beyond the arc, that's the thing that moves the needle. Like, he has everything else. He has the defensive stuff. He has the mid-range stuff. He has such a polished all-around game, and he has to do so many things offensively. But the one thing that really does move the needle is the three-point shooting. And it's more specifically the fact that he's shooting it from, like, all over the place. Like, it's not like he's developing it. And a lot of guys are okay, like, I'm a pick-and-pop guy, so I'm going to shoot a ton above the break, which is what he kind of did last year when he started shooting more of them. Like, a lot of them were on those pick and pop or trail situations. But most of these in USA are these corner threes where he's just legit just playing off the catch. Like, not like, okay, my defender doesn't want to guard me, so I'm going to slowly, like, get into my shot. Like, no, it's like real offense, Steph Curry driving, drawing help, kicking out to Bam, and Bam in one motion kind of flowing into a jumper. So it's like, just from seeing the stuff he's doing in this realm, it's like, that changes everything. And as I kept saying when we talked about potentially going big and playing with some of these other guys that we're going to talk about in this exact episode, that's what opens puts you in a position to run those lineups, is Bam being able to do that from the corners. Because Ware is going to shoot them occasionally, but he's mostly going to be a guy that comes up screens, rolls, back to the dunker spot, just dive, like usually just the normal big man stuff. And the way you can play Bam next to him is if Bam is in the spots that he's being used in Team USA, where he can attack from the wings and corners, pop it when teams help off and go down on a guard or kind of the rolling big like Ware. So that's what moves the needle. And I know you guys talked about it probably in the previous episode, but the jumper is fluid. Like, this isn't one of these things where it's like, okay, it's coming along. Like, this improvement is slowly going to take time, and it's here. Like, the jumper is here. And if he just gets decent volume up and the confidence is 100% there, like that changes the whole realm of the offense for Spo.
Alex, is Spo going to let him do it?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're going to see what you saw towards the second half of the season last year. And I think you'll probably see like a marginal uptick from that, right? Kind of like similar to what we were talking about with Jimmy on the last episode, where it's like, I don't think we're going to see a huge uptick, right? Like when we were talking about him, same thing. That's the same way I feel about Bam. I just think, like Brady's talking about, the confidence to be able to do it opens up things, right? It opens up, like he mentioned, the wear lineups, because frankly, Bam is just a better shooter than Khalil Ware at this point. Like, Ware is not going to be the stretch big in those lineups. And I haven't been a huge fan of the idea of turning Bam into that role, but if you just having that option is nice, right? Like, it's not like you've pigeonholed yourself into it. Like, if you're starting them, I don't think they're going to start together or anything like that. So having that option, you know, to be able to go to that lineup and having ways to make it work if you want to go to it, to test it out versus bigger teams, you know, it's going to help. The other thing I think it helps even more with is, you know, if he's just confident with spotting up in certain areas, like, it really helps playing with Jimmy. And it's the stuff we've been talking about for, you know, however many seasons now. I'm losing track because it's just been over and over and over. Like, oh, can Jimmy and Bam play together, even though, you know, their net rating together isn't that bad? And we know that, like, both of them are not real shooters. And I think last year, both of them had their best shooting years, obviously, with the Heat. And it didn't make a huge difference, but it is a nice help. And so I think both of them taking, you know, maybe a three or two more per game than they did towards, you know, and like for Jimmy for the whole season, for Bam, the second half of the season when he was really starting to shoot those. Like, I think that would be a big help for both of them to be able to play with each other more often and feel a little bit better about the spacing, because the spacing has been a problem. And, you know, we mentioned Haywood and him being one of the guys like being left open. I don't think teams are going to like close out hard to Bam or anything because he's willing to shoot threes. But I think him being like a decent catch and shoot guy, you know, he's going to take them. And I think he should take them if he's going to be spacing out there. It makes a lot of sense. But the only other thing I think you could ask for Bam to improve on other than that is really just like polishing some of the stuff down low, like we kind of talked about.
Yeah.
Compared him to Embiid in that one episode we did like last week. I just think he's good at it already. I think it could be a little bit better, just a little bit more confidence backing down guys and finishing over the top. I think he has improved on that over the years. And a lot of times he just wants to, you know, pass out of the double when it comes, and that's all fine and dandy. But, you know, when he does want to take that option of trying to score over the top of somebody, if they're not setting the double for whatever reason, if he has good post position, I think, you know, just polishing that up a little bit would be a nice touch. I don't think he's bad at it, but I think, you know, there is a little bit of room for improvement there. Otherwise, like, he's a complete player.
I've been pushing more for the stuff towards the basket than away from the basket. I've changed my view a little bit, sort of like I have with Jimmy, as I've seen this in the Olympics. But I'm gonna come up with one more specific here. For me, it's when the ball goes into him and the double comes, I want him to ask for it again. I want him to ask for it again, and I want the guards on this team to be forced to give it to him. I understand, look, he's not a perfect low post player. One of the criticisms I think that's been valid is he keeps the ball down too low. Sometimes he's not strong enough with his body overall. Sometimes he's physically overmatched by some of those that he's going against down there. But he still needs to call for the ball. And the guards on this team need to get him the ball. And I think that that has to be a focus in training camp and going forward. That whether it's Rozier, whether it's Hero, we know Duncan's going to do it, okay? But the other guys have got to force his aggressiveness. Like, this was a big thing we talked about when Lowry came, and I liked from Lowry early, was it's like Kyle would pass Bam the ball and clear the hell out of the way. Like, you're not sending it back to me. Sorry. Figure out what to do with it. And I just think we're at the point now, again, last podcast, Greg and I got into a lot of detail about how this is going to elevate him from an ego perspective, which I think is a positive for this team. Everything that's happening. I mean, LeBron has basically, he seems to be LeBron's favorite player on this team. Like, everything, the handshakes after the game against South Sudan, where he's basically pointing to him like he's him coming off the court. Like, again, I don't think the general public expected this from Bam, that guys like LeBron, Curry, et cetera, would embrace him to this degree. Maybe Bam didn't expect it. He's coming back different. And I think they need to continue to sort of advocate for that. Like, that is where they need to be at this point. Because as we talk about builds, when Jimmy unsigned after this season, Bam is signed. Bam has the extension. Bam is going to end up being probably the oldest player in the next build. And I, to me, it's about forcing him to be aggressive, take the reins. And the guards play a big role in that. And that is, again, if they're going to start Rozier and Hero, we know there's going to be high volume, high usage from the two of them offensively. It's the only way it makes sense. But still, their job is to get the ball to Bam in positions where he can be effective and force him, again, to force the action. All right, next guy we're going to get into, we've talked about this one a lot also, and then after the break we'll talk about three others, is Nikola Jovic. I saw some of the highlights. I didn't see the game for Serbia, but it looked like he was more comfortable from what I saw. 10 points. He had good efficiency. I think he was a plus 23 in their win against Puerto Rico. Where are we with him, Brady? Like, now we've seen him in a couple of these games, but what is the most important thing for him to bring to the Heat?
Yeah, his role with Serbia is so off ball that it's like, it's hard to really track the improvements, I feel like, in this circumstance. Like, I think it's important, and we talked about it in past episodes, that I think it's important for his catch and shoot three and all that stuff, just getting these reps. But like, he doesn't have as much of an on-ball role, I think, as we expected. And it's also because of the injury. Like, he was even talking about it. I saw some quotes with Tim Reynolds after the game, where he was talking about that he's still just trying to feel it out. Like, he feels good and everything, but he's still trying to get his body right and everything after that little setback. So that all has to be accounted for. But I think in the big picture for Miami, you talked about it with Bam a little bit, Alex. I think for Jovic, it's about what moves the needle the most for him offensively. It's being able to attack mismatches and, like, the low post stuff with him. Like, there were so many occasions last year where teams began late in the season putting their weak link defensively or their small man on Jovic in the corner. And they were like, okay, he's going to be our low man as our weak side helper, but hey, we could kind of let him roam a little bit and he's not going to get hunted. The key to that has to be Jovic has to be able to put that player on his back in the mid to low post and make them pay. And he's big enough for it. He's skilled enough for it. His playmaking is good enough that if he does become more and more of a threat and teams start to hedge over a little bit, then everything opens up, because then he can start doing all the passes that he does on a normal basis across the court. And that's when your offense opens up. But I think for him specifically, it's like just finding those gaps, like not being afraid to, I guess, do stuff on the ball, which I think it really does come down to. We talked about it all last year too, that he needs the ball in his hands to be effective. But I think it's about just making, picking his spots in a way, like just making up for that type of stuff in those spots on the floor, playing a little bit bigger, playing a little bit stronger. He's not afraid to put his head down or put his shoulder down and get in the lane. The three-point shooting will come. He's going to get a bunch of those shots up. That's always going to be his role. But I'm just curious to see if he can do that. And maybe, you know, figure out like a little bit in between game. Like, we don't see – he shoots mid-range jumpers. Like if he shoots a short jumper, it's like a normal-looking regular jumper that I think if he does have, like, develop like a little runner, like a lot of these guys that, like, even Jokic or we've seen Luka develop it, like these bigger playmakers that get in lane, they have like this same moves as him. But they have these little runners and a little in-between game where they can kind of make space. Whereas if he's going to start having the ball in his hands a little more and trying to get downhill, that in-between game is going to be important. So I'm just more so seeing the stuff he adds inside the arc and just seeing the different counters he can add. So that's why I wish he could get more on-ball reps with Serbia just for that reason, because he's playing such good competition and everything, but it's just the role he's in.
Alex, thoughts on that? And are there lineups that Spoelstra can feature him in that would allow him to get those on-ball reps?
Yeah, and before I get to that, I couldn't agree more with what Brady's talking about. That was something that I was frustrated with a lot, especially on playback last year when we would do games. And I was just going to make it about his finishing overall and kind of put all those things under that blanket as far as – because I 100% agree. He needs to be able to take advantage and punish a mismatch that you can't just let a team get away with that over and over. That doesn't mean you feed him in the post over and over, but you find different ways to take advantage of that, whether it's in the post or – you know, if you're getting him rolling, like however you want to involve it, right, where you want to get him closer to the rim with the smaller guy on him to take advantage and not just keep him out there as a spacer where like a smaller guy, you know, they can just stay out there glued to him and not let him get the open shot. I think he has to be able to take advantage of that. It gives a little bit more variety to his game because I think teams know that right now his game, you know, especially with the starters, is he's either going to take the open shot or he's going to, you know, drive a closeout drive from the wing and look to make the next pass, which is good, right? He's a very good connected player in that way with some of their better players. And that's why we don't really see these on-ball reps. But I think the rest of his game would come together nicely if he not only got better at finishing as far as, you know, taking advantage of a mismatch, but also, like Brady mentioned, the floater, right? Just having some sort of in-between shot there just for those cases where, you know, you think that the rim protector is going to be there by the time you get to the rim. And then, of course, the other point is just when he actually does get to the rim. Because there was some misses last year that I didn't think were great. And overall, I was looking at the numbers here. He shot 58% from the rim, which was in the 28th percentile last year. Not great for somebody his size. He's put on weight, and he'll probably put on a little bit more. I think he's wide enough now to, like Brady said, he can give a guy his back, and he needs to be able to finish, you know, when he does get those looks at the basket. And also, like, he's such a transition threat, and I thought there was times last year where he could have been more effective in transition if he was a little bit more confident with the finishing. And I think it opens up his game even more because he wants to pass the ball, he wants to like make the extra play. Not saying like he's afraid to shoot or anything like that, I just mean like once he sees like somebody else open up, he is going to make that pass. That's what he's all about. And what you look at is like the assist to turnover percentage. When you look at assist percentage versus his turnover percentage, they were too close to each other. I still think of him as a good passer and especially like as a connector. But I think it would look even better if he had the option of finishing and he was more confident, right? I think teams would be a little bit more worried about him as a scoring threat versus what I'm talking about, where I feel like the scouting report is going to be out that he's going to look to make that extra pass if he's attacking. So I feel like all these things come together. And it's something I forgot to mention with Jaime on the last episode, because it's funny looking at it now. Jaime and Nico both have a similar assist percentage, a similar turnover percentage for last season. So I think both of them kind of playing in these sort of attacking from the wings roles, you know, they handle it differently. Like Jaime looks for the shot more. But I also think of him as a good passer, whereas I feel like Jovic looks for the pass first. And I think, you know, that stuff will handle itself with more, you know, the more reps and minutes that they get. And specifically for Nico, you know, he's got to get that finishing up. Whereas for Jaime, it's like, you know, he gets if he gets the three down and he becomes more of a threat there, I think it makes the rest of his game easier. So, you know, two sides of the same coin there as far as both of their playmaking. And for Nico, it's all about the finishing.
Yeah. I'm with you on the finishing. To me, what I'm curious about is what he looks like with Jimmy this year. And everybody's talking about him with Bam, but Jimmy's taken such a personal interest in him. And I just know from those around Jimmy that they have spoken so highly of Jovic from the very start. Like there are those around Jimmy, and they don't always speak for the player, but they see Jovic as having star potential. I'm just curious how Jimmy helps get him there this year, because last year I thought that visit to Sioux Falls was big for Jovic at a time where Jovic's confidence was waning. I mean, he was playing a position he didn't want to play, wasn't playing it really much at all. Had the conversation with the reporter that was translated incorrectly. Had to explain himself. He's such like a likable kid. Like everybody likes. He's always smiling. Teammates like being around him. But he seemed down. And Jimmy was really the one that lifted him up. We talk about leadership, but that is one of the ways that Jimmy does it. And I'm just curious, after playing with him now, being supposed to be with him in the playoffs, obviously Jimmy wasn't available for that, but I want to see how he feeds off of Jimmy this year as they play together. That's one of the things that I'm looking for, and I think Jovic will react well to it. All right, when we come back, we got three more to get to. We'll get to them a little bit quicker here. We do want to mention a great sponsor of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Better Edge. Use the code 5RSN. That's 5RSN. Get $20 to play. This is a social betting marketplace. Again, it's BETTOREdge.com. Legal in 45 plus states, including the state of Florida. What's the difference between this one and the sports book that you know about? There's no VIG. It means you're not just giving money to the house for nothing. Also, you can find the line you want in their marketplace. Check it out, betteredge.com. Use the code 5RSN. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVE. FLOOR, name of this podcast, and you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
Your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Khalil Ware, I'll start with this. And we've talked about him a lot, obviously. We did during Summer League. And it's funny because I feel like I'm nitpicking on a guy that like the rest of the league is like enthralled about. Like he made all of the Summer League first teams, right? I saw Bleacher Report said he was the best drafted player to play there. He clearly found a guy, okay? And if they didn't, I wouldn't be speaking of it in these terms because I wouldn't even be thinking he was going to play this year. So everything that I'm talking about is things he needs to do to play this year. Single biggest thing he needs to do, other than the obvious, which is just generally focus, okay, which was the question about him coming into the draft. And obviously he answered a lot of those questions in his workout. This simple for me. If he can guard the pick and roll, he's going to play. That's simple. If he can guard the pick and roll, he's going to play. We talk about setting screens. That's part of it. Consistently going for rebounds, all the rest of this. If he can guard the pick and roll, he will play. Because that's what Spoelstra is going to judge this on. All right. It always starts with a defensive end. If he's in the right place, if he's making the right decisions there, if he's not getting lost, there will be enough time for him on the court. If he can't guard it, Spoelstra is going to make him wait till the second half of the season. Brady, do you see it similar to that?
100%. That's what ultimately going to get him minutes. Because if he's defending at even a decent level where he's blocking shots and deterring shots to the rim, there's nobody that you could possibly make the case for to play behind Bam in his spot. So, like, it really does come down to that, it feels like. But I'll say this, like, if I was to give my answer of, like, what moves the needle for this team, it kind of goes back to what you said about Bam, and it's that, like, I'm watching Derek White in this USA game throw lobs to Bam and just seeing his athletic self in this environment. I'm looking at Summer League. I'm watching Isaiah Stevens throw lobs to Ware off every down screen and pick and roll. They have to use these guys as legit lob threats. Like, it really does come down to that. It's not just about feeding them. It's about throwing decent, smart lob passes, finding advantages, because now you have two athletic bigs that can go up and get it, and you can't just not utilize that. As much as we want to push these guys out to the three-point line constantly, they have to utilize that in some way. So I don't even think it's on Ware as much. If you could find a way to make him a real threat consistently on the roll with throwing that ball up to him and on these two-on-ones, and a guy, I'm going to come back to this, because a guy that I think that we haven't talked about enough of who I think is going to benefit, who Ware's going to benefit most playing with, it's Duncan. I think Duncan and Ware are going to be a really good two-man game, just because Duncan can force two-on-ones. Duncan knows when to throw those lob passes when he's in that in-between range. And I feel like he's just really going to benefit from playing with a shooter like that that has the gravity to get him opportunities like that. But they're going to have to find ways to get like a guy like Ware a ton of lobs just to get him going early in the season. And then the other offense can come along, because as we've seen, his best games have been when he like gets it going early. Like if he sees the ball go in a couple times early offensively, he gets it a good flow. His touch is there. He starts playing confident offensively. He's running the floor. His motor's higher. You don't want a guy to get deterred because you're missing out on so many opportunities there. So I don't know if that's more on Ware. I don't know if it's on the guards consistently just doing it, but that is it for me. They'd have to utilize that part of his and Bam's game.
Alex, again, some of this is lineup based, right? So, and I know Heat fans, they want him to play with Bam. Like, that's the push here. You and I are in agreement on this. I don't think Spo is going to go to it very much in the first half of the season. I'll maybe in the second half of the season, depending on his development, if he just forces his way onto the floor. Is there anything else you see that can make a discernible difference for this team this year?
Well, like, there's a couple of things, and I feel like one is more basketball related, and one it's all about the physicality, and that's what I come back to for a lot of things with him. Like, it feels like once he puts a little bit of weight on his body, and I don't just mean lifting weights, like I think even more important than that is the core strength, the lower body, and I think that would help him also with the pick and roll defense you're talking about there, and of course with what Brady's talking about. And I 100% agree that he should be used as a roller first and foremost. They haven't had an athletic guy like this coming off the bench for Bam in a while. You know, I think like Duncan and Kello, nice two-man game, like Brady mentioned. You know, we've talked about potentially Terry and him. You know, I think even Tyler. I know people don't want to talk about Tyler anymore. Nobody thinks of him as like an amazing lob passer. Not saying he is, but I do think like he is going to utilize that as well, right? Whereas like with Bam, a lot of times I feel like he looks for a pocket pass. You know, I think we'll see a couple of Hero to Ware lobs as well. The other guy we saw have a good two-man game with him already was Jaime Jaquez. Like, I think, you know, you have potential for some interesting bench units there with guys like that, like Terry, Duncan, Jaime with Ware, you know, and maybe Haywood. I don't know, just like throwing stuff around. But I feel like there's some potential there to really get this guy going in the regular season. Other than that, like, since he's going to be used in that way, that's why I'm not answering this, you know, regarding his shooting, because that's to me the basketball skill that he needs to work on the most. Not because I foresee him as like this high volume stretch big, but just to have it there, right? Because that's what they want him to be eventually. As far as like somebody who feels confident in the three, it didn't look great in the summer. You know, I'm not saying I don't believe that it can or that he can shoot it well in the league, but he shot it on a low volume in summer league where, you know, if it would be anywhere, you would see it there. Right. And it feels like it says a lot about where he's at with it. And that's why they just kind of stuck with him as a roller, because he's just so athletic and just, you know, it just made sense to use him there. But I don't think he's a 3-and-D big yet. I hope he proves me wrong. But yeah, I just don't see that being the build for him, the use for him, the role for him this year. I think he's going to be a roller like Brady's talking about. and it's a nice advantage to have, but he needs to get into NBA shape. Like, there was work concerns about his conditioning just from, you know, people watching, right? Like when we were watching on playback there, and there was times where it was like, oh, is he tired right now? But more than that, getting, you know, an NBA weight, because even though his listed weight is like 230, he looks kind of skinny out there, right? And that's against summer league guys. I think that the speed and physicality of the NBA, even against, like, you know, bench bigs and not like the best bigs in the league or anything, I think it's going to be a lot for him to adjust to. And that could be the one thing that, like, keeps him from playing consistent minutes, is if they just feel like he's not up to it physically. And you know how the Heat are about that. It's not just conditioning for him. It's the weight, and it's also the mobility, which you kind of mentioned already with the pick and roll defense. So I just think him, like, those three things, right? Like, just weight, conditioning, mobility, those to me should be the priorities for him to actually get minutes right away in this regular season, because I don't think the shooting is going to be something that's really utilized to start.
All right, so we're going to do these two quickly, because I kind of feel like they're fully formed players for different reasons, right? Alex, I'll let you start. Is there anything Kevin Love can bring that he hasn't brought to the Heat in basically 1.25 seasons thus far? Because I kind of feel like it's set now, right? Like, he's going to help get through the regular season. He's going to provide leadership, outlet passes, make some threes. I mean, he had some runs last year where he kept them in games. And then probably there'll be a playoff series he's not playable. That's what it feels. I mean, that's kind of what happened last year. And I can see the same thing repeating itself. And they know what they're getting. They wanted it. I wanted them to re-sign him at the price. But, I mean, he got in great shape last year. He told me before in training camp in Boca, it was the best, you know, best shape he's been in. He thought he'd lost too much weight. I assume he's probably going to be in about the same shape this year. Like, they to me, he's the most, like, known quantity on the team. You know exactly what you're getting this year. Is there anything different that he could provide?
So the quick answer to that is no, but I do think if you want to touch on something, believe it or not, like, if you're just looking at the stats, it's his shooting. He shot 34% from three last year, and it felt better than that. I'm not saying it's a problem, right? But, like, his whole role is to shoot threes, and literally 99% of his threes are assisted. So, you know what I mean? They're all catch and shoot. Sometimes he takes, like, ones that are a little bit more contested than others, but you know what I mean? Like, most of the shots, these are not, like, higher difficulty shots coming off a screen or anything like that on ball. And he's one of the best big man shooters of all time. Like, he won a 3-point contest, if I remember correctly. Just in general, the guy, I consider him a sniper still. But 34% is not good enough for that. And that's the only thing I could really nitpick, because he's just been so great in the role. Like, and, you know, he has his limitations, and we've seen it against the Celtics 2 years in a row in the playoffs. You know, a completely different context, of course, with the team. But just in general, he has his physical limitations, and there's certain teams that it's harder for him to play against. Athletic five-out teams like the Celtics with, you know, guys who can all make plays with the ball in their hands. It's a tough matchup for him. But for what he is, as a veteran minimum guy, I think he's still great value. Like, he's a really helpful player for them in those Jimmy lineups with no Bam. Like, it's been a godsend for them, one of their more consistent lineups. So there's not really much that you can nitpick. Like, I think even he's a guy who will punish mismatches the rare times he gets them, and will sometimes, you know, take that turnaround in the mid-range, which is pretty money, and he knows how to get, like, a baby hook off over a guy. You know, he's got that already. And I still think of him as a good shooter, just to be clear. I just think, you know, that percentage has got to be a little better. That's all I can say at this point, because he also had his best defensive estimated plus-minus last year that he's ever had in his career, right? So doing that
at this age.
Yeah, I mean, it's in a very small role, so it's not apples to apples when he was in his prime, but it's nice, right? Because in the role he's playing in, he is starring.
You got the best for last, Brady. Opted out of his contract. They re-signed him. According to Andy said publicly Spo wanted, you know, to have a reliable backup big that he will play. Is there anything Thomas Bryant can do so that he plays more?
He can be like a real good one-on-one player for Khalil Ware to battle with in training camp. Just get him some good reps, physicality, you know, just try to rough him up a little bit. Playing meaningful regular season games, I mean, with the way things have trended in previous regular seasons, I don't count it out. Like, this might even be a game where you see him in a starting five picture. Like, I don't want to count it out. But I think we're at the point now that if they are not playing Khalil Ware, they've shown that they're rather go in a direction of going small with somebody like Jovic or five out shooting with a guy like Kevin Love or go small with a guy like Highsmith. So
yeah,
they could just straight up not run a backup five at times or Keyshawn Johnson. You never know. They could do some weird things that I just can't see it. If you're playing a backup big for legitimate backup big reasons, you're going to play the 7-footer that has upside and can block shots and do things in pick and roll defense that you brought up at just a more efficient level. So, I think the training camp battles with Khalil Ware is what I'm looking at.
Thomas is in a rough spot because there's only really two ways this goes. Either he plays and fans are frustrated because Ware is not playing, or he doesn't play and everybody's like, why did they sign that minimum deal when maybe they could have waited for a Tyus Jones or somebody else like that to drop to them? Thomas is a nice guy. I think he brings good energy to the team. Clearly he's well-liked in that locker room. He has some offensive skill, but it does feel like a little bit of a no-win situation for him. All right, make sure you check out the other two episodes we did in this series. August is an open month. We are recommending that you go on to Off the Floor, and you can literally suggest, how many days are there in August? 31 episodes. 31 episodes. You can suggest any of them. We just have Brady just recite. What do you want to do? You want to talk about horns for 25 minutes? I'm fine with it. We can go with it. Alex, you can break down their pick and roll coverages. I'll just sit here. I'll just start the clock. That's it. All right. Thanks to our sponsors, BetterEdge, 5RSN, Prize Picks. Use the code 5. Have a good one, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.